Hi, this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ITHINKTHISISGREAT.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think Jared Business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Egg proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Art Squad.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to episode 269 of No Borders, No Race. I am your king baby, Dr. Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And I hope you all enjoyed our previous episode as we shone a light on the recent attacks on the Asian community, as well as the bigotry that has been going on for many decades. I want to take one more opportunity to thank Dame Scarlett Asnebel, Ryan Omega, A. Janine McManus, and Carmilla Joe for sharing their stories. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, please go back. It is some really eye-opening stuff. Now, for those who did listen, remember how I said that the next episode, which is the very one that you are listening to right now, was going to be a regular show? Well, that was a lie. On today's episode, I welcome the founder of a fantastic charity and organization that combines two things that are close to my heart: punk music and autism acceptance. So on today's show, on top of this special interview, I'll be playing a selection of punk acts from Japan and North America that'll absolutely fit well with the attitude that this organization represents. So let's not waste any more time and dive into this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find their music on CD Japan, Amazon, Yes Asia, Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're beginning today's show with a Japanese rock legend covering an American punk one. It's Shonen Knife, who a few years back released an awesome tribute album called Osaka Ramones. And from that album is their rendition of The KKK Took My Baby Away.
She never got there. She never got there. They say. sticker from me. Ringy, 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 I'm the president. Find out where my baby went. Ringy, 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 I'm the FBI. And find out if my baby's alive. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. She went out.
Mike Rogers Show coming to you live from Tokyo, Japan, a year-end special. And I'll be with my good friend, Evan Borgold. And you can tune into the Mike Rogers Show. We play Japanese music, Japanese pop, Japanese... and you can win a bazillion dollars on this show. I don't know how you can, but maybe, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you can somehow, maybe buy a raffle ticket or something. The Mike Rogers Show, yes, tune in. We're going to have our year-end top five countdown. It's going to be way cool, and you can hear more good songs just like this.
Kimi wa kyaru yoru no machi wo furatsuite wa kimi wa kyaru shiroi kemuri ni magarete eta mou sukoshi kono mama de boku wa. So I'll be there. ずつ変わったけれど、君の言ってた言葉ずっと覚えてる。もしもこの先で忘れそうになった時にはきっとまた会えるよな。
Stunts Punks with Cow from 2010's amazing record, The World Is Mine. And sadly, longtime guitarist Kenya will be leaving the group after a couple of farewell gigs in May. I wish nothing but the best for him, and I sure hope the band finds someone who could fit into those corduroy boots of his. Now, I was going to do a little introduction for our guest today, but he did one so well that it paled in comparison to what I was going to say. So please, introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Steve Lombardo. I'm with Punks for Autism. Basically, Punks for Autism, we are a small organization. We're in the process of being set up as a nonprofit, but we're not there at this point. But we are a small organization, basically just kind of punk rock, hardcore, metal, kind of underground kids and music fans. That are just trying to, that all have family members, either children or relatives on the spectrum, the autistic spectrum. So we work together with a lot of different artists from all over the world, actually, U.S. and international, to basically create designs, something different than maybe what's been seen before for pro-autism awareness kind of apparel or merchandise, something kind of a little bit more geared towards, you know, I guess people of our generation, right. People that like some more, you know, different styles out there than maybe their parents or their grandparents might wear. So we're just trying to put some cool art out there and spread autism awareness. And basically every sale that we do, all of our proceeds, we donate 100% of them to various different autistic organizations, nonprofit organizations throughout the country and even some international ones too as well. So trying to put cool stuff out there and basically pay it forward to support other organizations too that are looking to help out with services, programs, and cool stuff for families and for individuals on the spectrum.
Fantastic. Now, as there is the focus on punk music, you are a guy who grew up in the punk scene. What sort of work did you do or still do perhaps in that realm of music?
So I've been going to punk and hardcore and kind of underground metal music and all the good stuff for the majority of my life. I don't want to say my age because it might kind of date me, but we'll say I've been going for more than half of my life, if not more. But yeah, so basically it just kind of, you know, I fell in love with the music, fell in love with, you know, started going to shows and even going to some of the smaller shows, not really the big maybe arena shows or anything like that, you know, you would see with some of the other genres out there. I began to quickly make friends within the different small shows and communities and just really, you know, enjoyed the community, the scene, how they look to really support each other. There's no kind of to support the community so they can support the local bands, support the local people coming out to the show. And I really, really enjoy that aspect of that. And the community is really kind of what, you know, obviously kept me going back to a lot of these shows too. So I'm still go to several shows. Well, not now with the pandemic.
Right.
Still go very often. Still love it. Still listen to music all the time. I got a few small kids, and now I'm trying to pass it along to them too, create the next generation. So, punk and hardcore are very dear to my heart. Still, you know, my passion, and I'm excited now that I can put my passion and continue that into obviously the older I get and do good stuff for those around us too that could use some more support.
Do you remember the first punk show you ever attended?
Yes, it was in 1994, and it was Rancid, Guttermouth, and The Offspring, and it was in San Francisco at the Fillmore in 1994. I think I let my age out, but I was probably about like eighth grade or so, or freshman year, and I think I had to get a ride from my parents' mom or something like that to the concert, but it was amazing, and from then I instantly became hooked and started looking for more more stuff similar to that, you know, along that same route. So it was awesome.
So you were much younger than I was. I didn't go to my first punk show until I was 21. The Japanese punk band Sushi Mami Rei were on tour with the Suicide Girls Burlesque show. And that was like my first experience at a true like punk show.
Oh, that's awesome. That would have been cool too, you know?
Oh, yeah. So where did the idea to start Punks for Autism come from? Because I know that you have a kid that is on the spectrum. Did that push you to like start an organization like that?
Yeah, so basically I do have a 7-year-old, almost 8-year-old son who's on the spectrum. He's a little bit more on the intense side. Yeah, just basically kind of seeing my son, seeing just obviously him and some of his you know, fellow peers and relatives too on the spectrum. I just kind of saw ever since, you know, from they were young, just seeing how everything about autism at an early age to me came across as being very similar to punk rock. And what I mean by that is you know, just the kind of doing what they want to do, you know, not trying to generalize, but like my son in his case, just kind of doing what he likes to do without really too much care or disregard for people's opinions. You know, not too concerned with anything like that. And I just thought, you know, this is so cool. Like, a lot of people are always trying to impress people out there and, you know, buy the latest shirt or wear the latest thing and, you know, trying to fit in. And I just see so many parallels between autism and with punk rock that they're happy in their own skin and happy in their own shoes, and they're going to, you know, do what they like. So yeah, that's kind of where it initially started. And I guess just kind of, you know, continuing with the punk and hardcore background, just seeing that continuing to mesh well together.
Terrific. So what does your son think of punk music? Are there bands that he's grown attached to?
Well, he's still fairly nonverbal, but I do put on some music and you could see he gets smiling and he kind of gets a little excited and running around and stuff, getting a little gets into the music. I would say for him, it's been more maybe like bands like Sick of It All. Sick of It All and some of like hardcore bands and a couple other ones too. But yeah, I see when I put that on, I see his ears kind of perk up and I see a smile on his face, see that he's into it.
That's awesome. So regarding with Punks for Autism and the organization as such, like what kind of steps did you take to make sure that Punks for Autism would not only talk about the disability in a good light, but also push for acceptance and not just awareness?
Well, right now, our organization, it's still fairly new. We've been doing this since we really started in December of last year. So I'd say to date, we got about a little over four months under our belt. But basically, what we've been trying to do is really, you know, aside from some putting in some cool designs to get people's attention and get people kind of tuning in, just really try to use our platform on Facebook, on Instagram, through our web, and through, you know, interviews like with you, to really continue to, like you said, not only spread awareness, but maybe go into more details on what that means. I think a lot of people, when they think of autism, at least just from our experiences, you know, maybe they think of stuff like, you know, the show Atypical, or they'll think of stuff that maybe they can try to draw some reference or some relation to, Rain Man or something like that. But it's such a wide variety of the spectrum, and there's so many different, you know, things on there that it encompasses, and great things too, and some challenges. So it's just really trying to, once, you know, aside from awareness, is really using our platform to speak more to that too, and you know, try to educate and, you know, open ideas and discussion for everybody in regards to the spectrum.
And I'm really glad to hear that you're pushing that sort of thing, because, you know, as someone who is on the higher end of the spectrum, like, for me, like, what I think of, like, shows like Atypical and movies like Rain Man, I feel like I don't see much representation in people on the spectrum with the same or similar levels like I am. Like, it's one of those things where they'll claim that, oh, it's more focused on someone that's on a higher functioning realm. But then when I personally watch it, I don't get it at all. Like, I see someone who's still in that sort of not lower, but kind of mid-range version. And I've personally been pushing to see more representation of those that are on the higher end. I think the only movie or piece of entertainment where I've seen like someone that is on the spectrum that is someone that I can really relate to is there was a movie that starred Josh Hartnett almost a couple decades ago called Mozart and the Whale. And it was from the same writer as Rain Man. And I felt like that film did an amazing job with representing people on the spectrum on so many different levels, from lower to even the highest end. And it didn't get enough credit when it came out.
Yeah. It's I think that's good that, you know, have stuff like that that can be more encompassing because, you know, like you say, I mean, although whatever, Rain Man may have won some awards or be recognized as being a good movie, and same with The Typical, I think, you know, I agree with your point. I don't think it represents the whole end of it, you know, and I think it kind of, you know, it leaves a lot of questions or maybe omits a lot of information that could be useful for other people, you know, as they continue to understand. I know there's a saying you met one person with autism, you met one person with autism, you know, so it's not like,
yeah, exactly,
it covers the whole thing, you know, so.
Everybody has their own uniqueness, whether it's if you are on the autism spectrum or even if you're not. Everyone has their sort of individuality when it comes to this sort of thing. And that is absolutely true with people on the spectrum because, like I said, you meet one person with autism, you've only met one single person. You didn't meet like someone that represents the entirety of it.
Exactly. And that's what's great, and that's what's punk rock about it. Because you think in punk rock, everyone is, I don't want to generalize, but most of the time, a lot of people are different, you know, different appearances, different backgrounds, different cultures, different abilities. So I think, you know, drawing those parallels, you know, there's so many differences within the spectrum. There's so many differences in punk rock. I think, again, it's just it's a natural comparison and a natural, I don't want to say marriage, but it's a natural, you know, they go together really well.
Absolutely. So I found out about Punks for Autism through CJ Ramone's Facebook, who has spoken a lot about autism in his recent posts. Mm-hmm. How has his push, or rather the push in general, helped to bring to light what Punks for Autism does?
Yeah, CJ's been amazing, and he did that really just out of kind of love. We weren't expecting to see him put something out there like that, but I know CJ does have a son on the spectrum, and so I know he's autism is very near and dear in his life as well as in his family's life. Since CJ put a little kind of shout out for us and a little plug for us, it's been great, man. We've picked up a bunch of new people now following the page, and also a lot of positive feedback to people that were unaware of our organization or what we were doing. And so it's been great. It's really helped us spread us not only our word in the States, but CJ Ramone, he's obviously internationally renowned. So we've been getting a lot of support too from even outside the US as well. Thanks.
Well, if you get the attention of a Ramone, that's one of the greatest honors you can get.
I know. We were so happy and so blessed when he did that. So, if CJ, you're listening, thank you so much.
Are there any other people in the punk scene that you were surprised to see reach out to you guys?
We've had some support from Toby Morse from H2O, the lead singer. Nice. He's been very thankful, and you know, he's got some of our gear. Very, very kind on that. We've had some support from Russ Igle from Underdog, band from the kind of 80s, 90s hardcore scene out in the Northeast. He's been really supportive too and helping spread our message out there. Also from Danny Diablo or Lord Ezek from New York Hardcore. He's from the band Scarhead and Crown of Thorns. He's been great on really, you know, promoting our stuff, our message. And I would say, and last, to give a shout out to Mikey Hood from the Sacramento Hoods. He, you know, he's been a supporter of our apparel. He's been putting nice things about us too out there, and trying to also help us and spread the message. So thank you, and a big shout out to all those. And every day, every week, we're lucky. We keep finding more people that are joining on and enjoying what we're doing. So hopefully, if we ever have a follow-up interview, I'll have some really, really big long list of people that I can give thank you to. So
I hope so too. We're going to take a little music break, but more from Steven right after this. Up next, we've got the pride of New Jersey, Titus Andronicus, who back in 2019 had legendary punk rocker Bob Mould produce their brilliant album, An Obelisk. This is the opening track from that record, entitled Just Like Ringing a Bell.
Clickbait, paywalls, or shilling around. At Scarlet Rhapsody, we are an independent web zone covering conventions across the country. Scarlet Rhapsody breaks it down for you. The guests, the dealers, the culture, the cosplay, the trending fandoms, and what makes a convention worth the price of admission. Are you convention cultured? You will be. Visit us on the web at scarlet-rhapsody.com, Facebook at Scarlet Rhapsody Media, Twitter at Cons and Churros, YouTube at Scarlet Rhapsody Convention Cultured, and remember, the con is what you make of it, so make it a good one. See you at the con.
I'm Ro.
I'm Manda, and together we're Black Compat. We're a growing community focused on diversity, inclusion, representation, conversation, and fun on Twitch. Want to be fam?
For chill community vibes, Wednesday nights at 7, join BC Row for the Wednesday Wind Down.
Friday nights, join us for Let's Plays, where we explore narrative and single-player campaign games. Stop by on Fridays at 7. Catch our flagship podcast, The Tribunal, live every other Sunday at 3 p.m., where we talk about issues that are important to us as Black women.
Issues like representation, inclusion, diversity, and more within the video games and entertainment industries. Check our channel and social handles to find out when a new Tribunal's going to drop.
We've got even more content on our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter handles, and our website, blackcompat.com.
So join in the conversation in whatever way you like at Black & Pat. Remember, always and,
never or.
All times are Eastern.
Sir, that was the Cherry Cokes with Fight for the Pride. The band has just finished touring in support of their 2019 album, Old Fox, so hopefully that's a sign that studio time for them is just around the corner. And we're back with Steve Lombardo, the founder of Punks for Autism. And now my next question for you is, what do you think it is about punk music that has made it helpful for people with autism to not just cope with it, but also find their place in society?
I think where a lot of people with autism can relate to punk music is, there's kind of bullying, or there's some negative stigmas, or, there's obviously people casting opinions, whether they're verbal or not. So I think a lot of a good takeaway people with autism can relate to with punk rock or with hardcore or metal or any kind of really underground music is that those musics are typically for people who maybe don't fit in mainstream or don't fit in their high schools or their middle schools or their, typical environments that they're in. So I think a lot of times they find community, they find support, they find awareness, and they find friendship within these different subsets of music, whether that's punk or whether that's metal or whether that's reggae or any of these kind of underground. So I think a lot of autistic people can find, maybe they feel alone or feel, they don't have that support in their lives. But when I think in punk music, whether it's listening to the music, reading the lyrics, going to a show, I think a lot of times they'll find more of a connection and something that relates a little bit more to them on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah. From my personal experience, when it comes to like punk music, I found like artists like Titus Andronicus and Fucked Up, classic groups like the Ramones and even like the obscure bands like Young Canadians have always resonated with me when it comes to like the sounds of punk and making it me feel, you know, just a big part of a much grander society. From your experience, or even from the experience of people that you've talked to who are on the spectrum, are there bands that you find that resonate best within the punk scene for those who are on the autism spectrum?
I think, yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on, it can vary, obviously. I think a lot of ones that, you know, might jump out that could be, you know, good ones that resonate, and from what I've heard are some bands, you know, more like on the punk bands, like a band like NoFX or, you know, or Rancid, something where maybe their image that they put out, you know, maybe they're dressing differently, maybe they're, you know, not concerned about looks or so forth. You know, I think a lot of those bands that maybe, you know, are a little bit more appealing to the wide variety, obviously, and then there's, you know, local bands or maybe more regional bands per se in that individuals where they live that they can identify. But from what I've heard from fellow autistics and friends is I think some of those bands, you know, like NoFX, Rancid, you know, some of the more kind of bigger bands like that, I think it's been pretty good for, or from what I heard, they've been pretty well received by the autistic community.
I found like for me as well, when it comes to my personal behaviors and such, like I like a good punk band that gets wild and crazy, but I also like one that knows when to calm down and like take a bit of a breather. Perhaps, and I'm surprised I didn't even mention them while I was first talking about it. That's why I find myself often going towards acts like Flogging Molly or Frank Turner, because they know how to play to so many different emotions in their music, not just wild and crazy, but they know how to, you know, calm things down and get ready for, you know, basically, if you want to, the best way to describe it is, know when to start getting ready for bed or something like that. It's hard for you to kind of explain it, but like, I like punk music that knows when to be wild, but knows when it's time to kind of turn it down.
Yeah, I get you. No, I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, I love, obviously, you know, passionate, intense music, but I think, you know, to your point too, it's nice to have, you know, options too. If someone wants to, you know, they don't want to listen to something, it's just going to be going, bam, 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 you know, and they want to be able to, you know, and that's, from many conversations and with people on the spectrum, it's the same thing. You know, it's not like they want to be racing through the same stuff in their head all the time. They want stuff that can slow down, that can speak to maybe how their mind's working, that's, you know, relatable to them too. So, I agree with you on that too.
Now, we did touch a bit about this, but it has been a tough year since there have been no live shows to help push Punks for Autism to various audiences. So what have you guys been doing to help promote what you do outside of the concert realm?
So right now, again, this has been going for about 4 or 5 months, but we're really trying to obviously ramp up our efforts in getting our word out there. We've just pretty much been promoting through our website, punksforautism.com, through Instagram, through Facebook, making flyers, as well as reaching to showcase here locally and send out counterparts and friends in other areas too, to spread the word around. So right now we're just trying to get it from a word of mouth on spreading it. Once concerts open up and the world returns back to the normalcy, then we're going to, I think, take obviously more of an approach where we can get our words at concerts or get our words, you know, in places where the music is there too, and spreading it out. But right now it's just been pretty much word of mouth, internet, and just trying to get out some flyers and some, you know, some handout information where we can.
So 100% of the proceeds go to various autism organizations, and I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about some of those who have received funding from it.
Sure. So we have about, there's several different organizations that we are currently supporting. And, you know, to give you an idea, like one of them is Surfers Healing. Surfers Healing was started by a gentleman, Izzy Paskowitz, and his wife, Danielle. They have I believe he's 29 or 30. So Izzy, if you're listening and I get his age wrong, I'm sorry, but their son, Isaiah, has autism, and basically they created an organization to, because Izzy used to be a pro surfer, and but he would never took his son out on the beach or in the water, because at an early age he had some intense autism, and they just thought that wasn't in the cards for Isaiah. But they do realize when they took him out, he did take him out one day, put him on the surfboard, was playing at the beach, and he saw just how it opened up his eyes and calmed him down. And just the freeness that he felt riding on the wave, it was something so moving and opening to him. So in return, they tried to do that with a couple other friends locally who had children and relatives on the spectrum, and we're getting the same results. So essentially what they do is they set up kind of free surfing camps where families can bring their loved ones with autism, and they can go for a day and go out and ride waves with pro surfers or amateur surfers, all free of charge. So we want to support that, give that feeling of freedom, of euphoria, of just a positive feeling, and support Izzy and Surfers Healing as much as we can. There's other organizations too, aside from just doing kind of like fun activities, that stuff that like the Autistic Citizen too, which is one that provides more services and programs and different kind of resources for individuals on the spectrum for skills that they'll need to keep advancing in life. To give you an idea, a lot of organizations that we work with and we have seen on the spectrum, nonprofit autistic organizations, there's a lot of resources and services for a lot of children, but we've noticed too that sometimes when people hit 18 or 21, a lot of those programs or resources cease. So good organizations, specifically like the Autistic Citizen, there's another one out of Maryland called the Madison House, where they do provide resources and services to adult individuals on the spectrum, in terms of helping them, find employment, just living skills, basic kind of skills that they'll need to be successful in their careers or in their adulthood. That seems to, unfortunately, at this point, not be maybe as readily available as it is for some of the younger ones. So we want to spread the wealth. We want to give the wealth to not just all on doing fun activities, or not just all to children. We really want to spread the wealth around, because, again, the spectrum is so big, and there's so many different things that all of us can do to support, the different individuals on the spectrum.
Absolutely. And I'm actually really happy that you went out and found organizations that help those that are adults that are on the spectrum, because you're right. Like, as soon as we reach, a high school graduation age, or even close to college graduation age, that's it. There's nothing out there for, people like me. I had to personally go out there and try to better myself on my own without any sort of organization as such, because it wasn't available. So was there a challenge, or was it challenging to find organizations that focused on adults with the spectrum?
To be honest with you, it did take some work, because the ones that we would come across, for the most part, again, we're doing stuff more for younger individuals, for kids, for toddlers, even for young students. So when we were able to come across some of these ones that aligned with what we were looking to do from an adult standpoint, and the support we wanted to give for them, we were all in. We said, awesome. I'm glad they're out there, and I'm glad that may take some work, but glad to see that those exist, and we would love to help them as much as we can so they can continue to be successful and grow in the future.
You're putting a lot of heart and soul into not just the organization that you are personally starting, but also to all the organizations that you're going to be donating to.
Yeah. And another question we get too oftentimes is if we support Autism Speaks. I know people in the spectrum may have mixed feelings in regards to Autism Speaks. I just would like to put out there, we don't support them. We're not donating. We're not doing anything in conjunction with them, nor do we intend to. We get that because sometimes on our designs we'll have some puzzle pieces on there, and we have other designs that have puzzle pieces on there. So I know there are individuals that may not like the puzzle piece, and there are individuals that do like it. So, and that's fine. I mean, we're open. Obviously, it's punk rock. We're gonna do what we want to do. But we try to put stuff for everybody, you know, that caters to everybody. We're not trying to go all in one direction or go all in another direction. We want to make this as open as, you know, different, you know, kind of just kind of like the spectrum, man. We want to, it would be diversity and images and stuff that everybody can choose from.
And I do thank you for making that point, because as someone who I'll try to be as careful as I can with the words I'm about to say, I know many friends who have been hurt more by what Autism Speak has done than felt like they've helped.
Yeah, I know a big thing is we're not trying to cure autism. I mean, we're not trying to cure people. We want to support people, and we don't think there's anything wrong. We love the people. We love autistic people how they are. We love people how they are. We just want to support them. We're not trying to cure anything or you know, because you're that way, we need to fix you. That's never been our goal, man. We're punk rock. We're open-minded. We just want to give love and support, man, across the board. So,
fucking A. We'll be back with more with Steven and Punks for Autism, but first, a little more of those sweet and sour melodies. You can't talk about Japanese punk without mentioning Guitar Wolf, and this track is something of a half cover. The original version, which Seiji wrote with John Spencer, is found on Puffy AmiYumi's Splurge album, but Guitar Wolf recorded their own version for 2013's Beast Vibrator. Here's Female Machine Gun.
Separate them. Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from IssuesProgram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out IssuesProgram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out IssuesProgram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Unsung heroes known as Young Canadians with Data Redo, which can be found on their complete collection, No Escape. Although Young Canadians was short-lived, their frontman, Art Bergman, has become the instrumental figure in Canada's punk rock scene. So influential, in fact, that he was made a member of the Order of Canada for his contributions to punk music and social, gender, and racial equality. Art's quite the hero, and his work should absolutely be spoken about in the same light as many of his contemporaries. And we're back with Steve Lombardo from Punks for Autism. So on your website right now, you are currently selling shirts with some pretty unique designs, as you mentioned in the previous segment. How do you decide what fits best with both the message and the attitude of Punks for Autism?
So we work around, we do our homework in reaching out to different contacts to work with us and collaborate with us. Sometimes we'll come with a preconceived general idea of something that we think would, be a cool idea, especially if it aligns to what their maybe artistic background or their strengths are. So we'll try to link those two. And sometimes it's just kind of giving the artist basically just kind of creative rein to do what they want, to do what they think they can do best. I know, like, punk rocker, metal, hard, like, typically, I mean, I got a bunch of tattoos, so when I go to a tattoo shop and I try to give the tattoo artist more creative rein, I see that, from personal experience, I know they come out sometimes with some pretty cool shit. Okay. So I feel, playing to their strengths or giving some of these amazing artists, the ability to shine where they want to, where they feel strongest. I think it's helped us create some really, really cool concepts.
Because, when it comes to, like, punk posters, like, those are always the best. Like, you got, like, sometimes you get really creative. You got that sort of Shepard Fairey look. Other times you get that sort of Rat Fink kind of 1950s pop comics feel to a punk poster. Do you try to look at those and see how to implement that into what Punks for Autism's messages?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a good portion of us, going old school, grew up on Mad magazines and, kind of those kind of comics and stuff like that. So, we try to implement, some of, that into what we're doing. But I agree with you, man. Punk posters and some the ones that they put out, a lot of those artists go completely unsung, man, and put some amazing stuff on there. And it's definitely helped give, get our creative juices flowing on the direction we want to head and put something similar to that speaks to what our cause is. So
is there a design that you guys currently have that you're most proud of?
I guess it's always going to be the next design. So, but it's hard to pick a favorite one. But I definitely have some ones that I lean more towards. I got, some of our some of the other our employees that are people work with us that they lean towards. But I love anything that is really along that punk kind of music tip. I know we have some skating ones, skateboarding designs. We have some like reggae ones, some graffiti ones. But just for my own personal preference, anything that is kind of skulls that speaks my language. So
is there an artist or the artist that you would love to collaborate with for t-shirts and merch in the near future?
If he's listening, there's an amazing gentleman out of Santa Cruz, California that works for Santa Cruz Skateboards. His dad actually made that hand, the famous hand logo.
Oh.
His name is Jimbo Phillips. And he does amazing work. He does stuff for punk bands. He's done art for Pennywise and for, Lagwagon and Wilhelm Scream. And he's done art for several bands in the past, as well as obviously for a lot of the skating, surfing, and, kind of outdoor activity community. So if Jimbo, if you're listening, we would love to work with you. Amazing artwork. And for all everyone else listening in on here, go check out his stuff on Instagram or on Facebook. You guys will be impressed with a lot of the cool stuff he makes.
And I totally hope Jimbo is listening, because I think he would be down with this sort of stuff that you are posting and promoting.
Absolutely.
So why do you feel Punks for Autism stands out from other autism-based organizations?
I think for us, we are speaking more towards, I think like when we see other basically autistic organizations, they seem to be, and I'm not calling anyone out, but just in general, they seem to kind of be like, and no knock against them, but kind of like vanilla, like Ryan Seacrest, just like super PG, like right. They're not put anything, like they just want to have something that's, it looks marketable, that's not going to ruffle any feathers, that's not going to do anything like that. Just kind of something, again, that maybe your grandma might buy and be, hey, Sonny, look at my shirt, you know? So we try to put a creative twist on it. We try to cater to more where our heart and where our musical interests and our artistic interests fall into. And we see that a lot of people are in similar boats to us, where they enjoy that music or they identify with that, they grew up with that. But then when it comes, you know, then they have children or they'll have, you know, friends and family, and but they're not able to find anything that really speaks to how they're typically dressing on a daily basis. So we just kind of want to go that route and put some cooler stuff out there for a change.
Right. Where like some of these organizations are kind of like that. They have sort of an attitude of maybe like a ballet or a play. Yeah. Punks or Autism is trying to be the Cactus Jack versus Terry Funk Jeopardy's death match of organizations.
We want a ballet with, like, you know, chains and metal ropes and, you know, and crazy music. And we wanted to keep it interesting. You know, we want to do our little different twist on it. So
that is fantastic. Steve, thank you so much for joining me here on No Borders Erase. For more information on Punks for Autism, where can our listeners find that?
You can go check out our website, www.punksforautism.com. You can also check us out on Instagram under Punks for Autism and Facebook on Punks for Autism.
Steve, thank you once again. Best of luck with this organization. I am rooting for you guys. I'm hoping that Punks for Autism spreads out throughout not just the country, but throughout the rest of the world. It sounds like you guys are planning some great things, and I look forward to seeing what you are going to be working on.
Great. Well, thank you for having us, Evan. And yeah, we're excited. And especially as the world continues to open up, just keep tuned. You're gonna see and hear some new stuff and some good stuff from Punks for Autism, and maybe not just from a clothing and apparel stuff, but getting into some other different avenues too to continue to spread the message.
And hopefully, fingers crossed, I may see you at a hardcore punk show in the near future.
I hope so. I would love it.
Coming up, we've got a band that I don't think I've played since my days back at WMWM Salem. They were called Berry Roll, and sadly, they would break up soon after the release of their 2007 album, Daydreaming. And I feel like I need to say this title like I'm Doug from those The State Sketches. This is Get Out of Here!
pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
Passion, freedom, knowledge. The Abstract Japan Podcast at abstractjapan.com.
Their Be Quiet album, that was Mojao with To Be It. And as of this podcast, Haru and Masumi are in the studio working on their next record, and I seriously hope it's as badass as their previous ones. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos from the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com, like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade, and follow us on b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can follow me, Your King Baby Duck, on Twitter, the J-pop, video games, anime, amino pages, Instagram, and Twitch at King Baby Duck ESH. Don't forget to give some love to our friends at Black Compat, which you can find at blackcompat.com, twitch.tv/blackcompat, and youtube.com/blackcompat. My thanks once again to Steve Lombardo for coming on. Again, if you want more information on Punks for Autism, visit punksforautism.org, as well as their respective Facebook and Instagram pages. They may be a new organization, but I certainly have a lot more great things to say about them and what they are doing than a certain other autism organization that I despise to death. Fingers are crossed that their work gets out there throughout the rest of the world. So, since I began the show with Shonen Knife covering the Ramones, I thought it would be highly appropriate to end the show with the Ramones covering someone else. And that someone else is fellow Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Tom Waits. From their final album, Adios Amigos, this is I Don't Wanna Grow Up. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck remind you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
When I'm lying in my bed at night, I don't wanna grow up. Nothing ever seems to turn out right, and I don't wanna grow up. How do you move in a world with fog that's always changing things? Makes me wish that I could be a dog. When I see the price that you pay, wanna be that way, but I don't wanna grow up. Seems that folks turn into things that they never want. The only thing to live for is today. I'm gonna put a hole in my TV set. I don't wanna grow up. Open up the medicine chest. I don't wanna grow up.
Guys, this is your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.